Welcome to Creating Connection with me, your host, Dr. T, where we will navigate being human together. We'll do this through conversations, exploring the challenges and joys of life, uncovering insights and strategies to create meaningful connections, to foster personal growth and find solace in the collective wisdom of our diverse community. Drawing from a unique blend of academic expertise and personal experiences, I will dive into the joys and complexities of aging, death, dying, grief, and body image. With a blend of humor and compassion and understanding, we will forge connections that transcend geographical boundaries and unite us in our shared humanity. When we come together, the possibilities are endless. Creating Connection with me, Dr. T, starts now. Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Dr. T, and you are listening to Creating Connection on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with me for the next hour as I discuss bringing mindfulness to the holidays, specifically mindfulness to eating around the holidays. I do want to first start out with that in this episode, I will be talking about food, a bit about diet culture, my own experiences with weight and mindful eating journey. So if any of these topics aren't helpful or are harmful for you in any way, please don't listen. Take good care of you and then join me back next month. I just want to make sure that you're taking care of yourself because some of these topics can be kind of charged. All right. So for those of you sticking with me, thank you so much for being here. This is a topic near and dear to my heart. My relationship with my body. Well, my body started 53 years ago when I was born, but the awareness of like diet culture or grappling with diet, body image, disordered eating really started about 37 years ago when I was around 16, 17 years old. It was kind of always around my house. My mom would talk about being on diets and I know she was trying, I don't know, she would take things to like reduce her appetite and she was on Weight Watchers for years. And it was, you know, that's when I started noticing that, you know, the talk at the time was like, don't eat butter, eat margarine. And now it's like, oh, eat healthy fats. And so, you know, these things change as we go over the years. So the important thing is to just start paying attention. So again, so this started about 37 years ago where I started really grappling with it, right? I was naturally thin, skinny as a child. And this I just would eat whatever I wanted to. So again, my mom was always on a diet. And then I remember being out to eat with my grandma and I was eating a malt. And she said, oh, be careful, Terry. She's the only one that calls me Terry. She said, be careful, Terry. Those calories will catch up with you and I'll make you fat. And I just was like, okay. And I just kept eating thinking like, well, you know, I don't know. And that I do remember that was when my food rebel kind of first started peeking its head up. And so this idea of like, don't eat that or don't get fat. And I had a friend in high school, her mom would talk about how we should keep our figure the way it was because it's never easy to lose weight. So, you know, and you might even think about in your own life, like what are the messages that you've taken in or that you have started or just ingested, pun intended, over the years about food and diet. Nothing can bring that more to the forefront than the holidays, right? So often during the holidays, we might be going back to a home or family environment where some of these habits started being ingrained. Or you might be out with friends, or there might be times with colleagues and holiday parties and things like that. There might be foods that you aren't normally around for the rest of the year. So it can be a really interesting thing to navigate. Often people show love with food, right? So there could be this idea of, you know, having someone say like, oh, I made this special for you. And you're like, oh, I'm not eating that way right now. And it can feel, I muted myself. Sorry about that. Navigating technology. So when you're with people, there might be food pushers, and they might be doing it out of love. They might be doing it because they want you to join in. They might not want you to miss out. And that might be also very challenging. So it's not just about your own relationship with food, your body, but it could be other people starting to bring those conversations in. So again, kind of going back to where my journey began, then I was in a long-term relationship. I was depressed. I was not taking very good care of myself. It wasn't a super healthy relationship. And I would constantly like diet, but it was always in this punitive way. I'd go to the gym and I'd watch the calories counting down, thinking like, oh, you know, this many calories is a Snickers bar, or I ate this, so I have to work out that much. And you might have had those patterns in your own life. And so for me, that wasn't about trying to have a relationship with my body. It was really out of negative, beating myself up again, having been naturally skinny, then gaining a lot of weight. I was vicious to myself. Oh boy, my self-talk was brutal. And I remember, you know, I'd go to bed and I'd wish for a magic pill, or something that, you know, I could have or take, or some magic thing that I would be thin again. Because I didn't really recognize myself and I didn't feel comfortable in my skin. But really what that taught me and what I became aware of was that negative self-talk. And I realized I would never talk to a stranger like that. I would never talk to someone I really didn't like the way that I was talking to myself. And I started to have compassion and started noticing and changing how I talked to and about myself. Now that was probably, I don't know, I was maybe 25, 26 years old at the time. I didn't, you know, magically lose weight. And what I actually realized later is I shifted that, but I'll get to that in just a minute. When that relationship ended, I lost the bad relationship, including a lot of excess weight. This was not necessarily intentional. I smoked cigarettes at the time. I did not eat well. I just had lost. And I did say that, oh, it was because of the relationship. And I would make quips about that. Then I met my husband. And boy, then I got really heavy again because I called that happy fat. You know, I was married to my best friend. We were having a great time. The snacks and like goodies that we would have together, we would make good food together. I gained a lot of weight at that time. And it felt different, right? Like, yeah, you know, I was not physically comfortable in my body, but I was so emotionally and mentally happy. I wasn't paying attention. And then somewhere during that relationship, I was like, okay, I want to start working on my body. See, again, like it's a project. But I did. I started working out at a weightlifting gym, and that was great. Shout out to Rick and Carla, wherever they are in the world, because I've never been stronger, and it was such a supportive environment to learn to exercise and move my body with a feeling of support rather than punishment. Then Charlie and I started working out at a kettlebell gym. So shout out to 180 and the fine folks there. That was great. I have never been so fit in my adult life. I was strong, I was fit, and it felt really good. And then we decided to move to Reno, Nevada for grad school. And I remember someone a year ahead of me had said something about exercising. I was like, oh, I need exercise for my mental health. And they said, oh, well, good luck. You know, the most exercise you'll probably get is walking up the hill to get your car. And unfortunately, they were right. And I didn't move my body in the same way while I was there. I kind of went back to the triggers of what was supportive to me when I was under stress. I talked about that in episode 2, where I started smoking again. I started eating a lot of different foods that I hadn't been eating. And it was all out of that knee-jerk reaction of feeling kind of out of my element, scared, stressed. And so, but I was able to approach it a little differently, right? So in this way, I was like, oh, I could see that. Well, I shouldn't say that, not immediately. It was when I then was introduced to my first mindfulness course, mindfulness-based stress reduction, or MBSR. And that was in the fall of 2015, so about 8 years ago. And, you know, a combination of grad school, and then there was a lot of loss and grief in 2019. And I was then with my dissertation and working through the COVID times. And I wasn't one of those people who took COVID on and used all of that free time to make my body better. I did not. I found Popeye's spicy chicken sandwiches and I had a relationship with them. It was difficult, but the difference about this time. So again, I had been fit, go to grad school, life is happening, stress is happening, and I kind of knee-jerk backed. What is different now is that although I'm at my heaviest weight, which I heard someone say once, that weight is your relationship to gravity. And I love that. So today, my relationship to gravity is the heaviest that I've ever been, but also I am the friendliest relationship with my body and with food than I ever have been, which feels maybe counterintuitive, and yet it is so freeing, and it is so, like, it gives a lot of ease. So again, my first introduction to mindful eating was an exercise during my first MBSR training, and I will, at the end of this episode, be guiding a mindful eating meditation for y'all. So that's something that you can either practice live with me if you're listening and able to do so, or you can listen back later on, and I'll also post that meditation on Insight Timer, which is a free app that I have some other meditations. So if you want to meditate with me at any time, you can go there. Let me take a sip of water here. After that mindful eating exercise, I then joined a group on campus at UNR. It was like a group, we were going through into the intuitive eating book. I have it right here. I'm holding it up for those of you who are watching. It's a book called Intuitive Eating, A Revolutionary Program That Works by Evelyn Tribble and Elise Reich. I don't know if I'm saying those names right, but I do have them, this book, along with others that are linked in the show notes. So I went through that book, and in that concept is that no food is bad and no food is evil or inherently wrong, and that you should eat whatever you want, which, okay, hold the phone. Like, that was terrifying, and it is terrifying for many people. I also trained with Judson Brewer to facilitate his app, which is called Eat Right Now. And I do highly recommend that app if you're looking for some grounded support to shift your relationship to food. He also has an app called Unwinding Anxiety and a book that is also listed in the show notes. So, where is that all leading me? So that's leading me to say that at this stage of my life, my relationship to gravity is the heaviest it's ever been. And I am genuinely friendly with myself. I am genuinely kind and compassionate. I am aware at some of the triggers, and sometimes not so aware. And we'll get into all of that here in a little bit. But I wanted to let you know kind of my journey, because although I am not a nutritionist or a health coach, I have had this ongoing conversation and relationship, and that has finally come to a place of peace and ease, which is what I wish for all of us around our bodies, body image, eating, food, and it could give really a lot of peace. And that makes me think of when I, I'm saying a lot as a smoker, I didn't realize how much brain space smoking was taking up in my mind. Right. So I would I didn't realize till I quit smoking, and I was like, oh my gosh, I thought about smoking all the time. When should I smoke? How should I smoke? You know, I should quit. No, not quitting today. And with food, it is a little different because of course we have to eat. I mean, we need sustenance to live, and it is also important. As far as a lot of celebrations or things are with food, and we have all of these ideas about what food can and cannot be, including a very pervasive diet culture and what size, you know, our physical structure should be. It's never ending. So just know that we're touching on this in this episode, but it is nuanced and it is pervasive through culture. So as soon as you start paying attention and being aware, you might notice how many messages you are getting minute by minute. I have also listed a lot of other books that have helped me along this process. So let's get into it. What is mindful eating and why is it important? And I do want to say again that this is a process. This is not, you know, you'll listen to me and be, you know, this is the work of a lifetime. So what is mindful eating and why is it important? Again, mindfulness, and I'll keep repeating it because it's hard to change those pathways. So mindfulness is observing, watching, examining, right? You're paying attention on purpose in the present moment. You're not a judge, but think of yourself more of a scientist or a detective. Get curious about what's happening. So that's applying this, and we're going to apply it to what you're consuming. So in this case, it's food and drink. You can apply it to any consumption, whether it's social media or TV or whatever you're consuming. But today we're talking about food and drink as we go into the holidays. So a mindful approach to the holidays can provide more ease. Again, how much chatter is being taken up? How much are you thinking about what you should eat, when you should eat? Can you eat? Is it safe to eat? And so you can have more ease if you start noticing and saying like, oh, I don't want to have that much chatter about it. And like, oh, noticing like, oh, here I am. I'm worried about, you know, this piece of food, or I don't want to disappoint someone. So you can have more ease if you come into this with this idea of like, oh, I'm going to investigate. I'm going to be curious. It can, again, quiet the internal dialogue so that you can be present with family and friends. I know so much of my, in the past, I would be thinking like, should I have this? Should I not have this? And I would be missing out on what was going on right in front of me. So, you know, maybe this is an approach that you could use, that you could be more present with your friends and family. And again, thinking about increasing your self-awareness. You might be paying attention to like, what's my mind state? Maybe going home or going to, you know, celebrate the holidays or not celebrate the holidays is stressful for you. There can be a lot of emotions. Grief comes up a lot around this time of the year, whether it's the loss of people that we love and care for, or loss of tradition, or not being able to be with the people that you want to be during the holidays. So it's important to pay attention to your mind state, to what is happening before you reach to that thing. I alluded to, not alluded, I straight up said that, you know, stress and grief and loss towards the end of my graduate career, really increased and changed how I was eating. And that impacted my relationship to gravity. And then, you know, you can also come and pay attention to what am I eating? And that might seem odd, but there's so many times, and I'll speak for myself, that I have reached for food and, you know, I'll have been done with a bag of potato chips before I even really kind of registered that I was eating potato chips. So what are you eating? And another question I like to ask is, am I enjoying it? What is amazing about pausing and actually paying attention to what you're eating and if you're enjoying it is you might not be. I mean, it might sound weird. I know I mentioned this, I think on maybe it was episode 2, but one of my students, when I led a mindful eating exercise, actually was astonished that the snack that they chose to eat for the exercise was something that they ate almost every day and had been for years as a snack. And when they paused, when they slowed down and asked themselves, am I enjoying this? They didn't like it. They thought it tasted oddly like chemicals, or it felt stale or something. I can't remember the exact things that they said, but that sticks with me because oftentimes we are in that habitual pattern, and you might not be enjoying it. And then if you're not enjoying it, there can also be this issue of not wanting to disappoint someone, right? Like if someone made you something or there's something that they've served, you don't want to, well, I'll again speak for myself. As a recovering people pleaser, I would have eaten things many times, even if I wasn't enjoying it, because I didn't want to let someone down. Now I'm able to say, you know, no, thank you, or, you know, something to that order. So again, what is your mind state as you're reaching for that food? What are you reaching for? What are you eating? Are you enjoying it? And then here's a big one. How do I feel after? And this isn't a beat yourself up, right? So there have been many, 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 many times in my life that I have eaten and I feel like absolute crap after. What used to happen is I would eat like that, I'd feel like crap, I'd beat myself up, which would just lead into that cycle of more eating because I didn't like that discomfort, right? So I physically felt crappy and then my mind felt crappy. And so then I would eat to try and, you know, shush that voice. And so, you know, this idea of investigating how do you feel after, or asking yourself, how do I feel after I've eaten or consumed this? It's not to beat yourself up. Again, kind of going back to, you know, some of these elements of like non-judgment and curiosity. There is a story or parable in the Buddhist traditions that talks about the first and second arrow. And so what happens is if you eat something and you feel crappy, and then you're like, how do I feel? I feel crappy. Okay, that's the first arrow, right? You feel crappy. That's it. The second arrow would be beating yourself up. And the third and the fourth arrow of like, why did I do that? I said I wasn't going to do that. You know, I have no willpower, blah, blah, blah. Whatever that dialogue is, inviting yourself to be aware of that dialogue and then just come back to the present moment. And maybe, and this could be next level, maybe offering yourself compassion, compassion for, you know, whatever your choices are, because that cycle can be interrupted, right? So, and taking it in as data, as information, again, as if you're a detective or a scientist, not as if you are bad and wrong. And there's so much language around, you know, judgment and failure when people do have that, when people do have that experience. You might hear people say, listen to your body. This is actually can be like wildly unhelpful, especially if you haven't been paying attention or used to tuning into the cues. And so again, it might, you know, be one of those simple, not easy. You know, we have these containers, and again, you know, you've been in it for however many years you've been in your own container, but you might not have been paying attention, right? So often that we're focusing on our cognitive and we're not really checking in. Again, you know, what am I eating? Am I enjoying it? How do I feel after? So where to start would be observing, allowing yourself to become aware without judgment, just noticing what's happening, really, truly. Like it's as simple and as not easy as that. But, you know, if this can help in any way, I really hope that it does. So again, you know, we might have these things, listen to your body, or, you know, a lot of the books are talking about, you know, trusting your body. You might see that. I'd like you to back up a few steps and think of it as building a relationship with your body, which might even seem like a stretch. You know, it's your body. Of course, you know it. But how many of your habits are really just habitual actions, or knee-jerk reactions versus like a choice or kind of an honoring? There might be things like, you know, when I'm in this place or with these people, I eat these things. Or you might have said, oh, I'm on vacation, calories don't count. Or it might be something like, you know, this food only goes with XYZ. And for an example, you know, for me, ribs go with baked potatoes, not mashed potatoes. You know, what are these rules that get made up in the mind around food? It's potatoes. I mean, they're good, right? And then you might have even experienced this idea of danger foods, right? Maybe you have said things like, I can't have this in the house, or I can't be trusted around this or that food. Or if I let myself start, I won't stop. For me, that was potato chips. If potato chips were in the house, oh my gosh, they called to me, they had a voice, they were like, oh, there's potato chips, blah, blah, blah. I would be so aware of the potato chips in my house and really, you know, couldn't trust myself around them. Once I started this practice of mindful eating and intuitive eating, the first time potato chips went stale in my house, minor miracle, because it lost that grasp of my awareness and my attention, because I wasn't denying, I wasn't saying like, this is bad, or I can't trust myself. I actually, you know, allowed myself to have potato chips in the house, and now I don't have that pull, which goes back to what I was saying about, you know, maybe shifting your relationship to food or bringing this mindful awareness to what you consume can actually provide more ease, right? Less chatter, less like, oh, hooked into a craving or something like that. So that is an idea to, as you start building that relationship and kind of bringing that trust back to your body. In intuitive eating, they talk about how all of us were born intuitive eaters. And there's something that they talk about with toddlers, that if they're at a table and there's like cookies and vegetables and chicken, that a toddler at various days will reach for different things. Sometimes they'll start with the cookie, sometimes they'll start with the veggie. This seems wild to me. And yet, you know, if maybe you have small children in your life and you might see that they maybe have kind of more of an intuitive relationship to food. A lot of what happens is society, like what we should look like, how we should appear, incomes, diet, culture, all of that. You might not even trust yourself around food or trust your own body signals. And remembering it is a practice, right? So it is not a perfect. It is a practice of, you know, bringing this awareness, compassion, curiosity to your own experiences around food. And I wanted to bring up mindful communication reminders from episode 4. because guess what? You can apply this to yourself too. And you might need to apply this as a reminder to people that you are around who might be, you know, kind of challenging if they're kind of pushing food your way. So I wanted to highlight self-awareness. And again, that is thoughts, emotions, biases, judgments, distractions, stress, and the physical sensations in the body. So starting to pay attention. And this might not be possible throughout everything that you're doing this holiday season. Again, you know, maybe pick one mindful bite, one mindful meal, or, you know, do a couple of the mindful meditation practices just to start that. So again, I don't want you to feel like you need to be a pro at this. And again, I've been working on this for a number of years and I'm still working on it. So, and then attitudes of mindful communication, acceptance, curiosity, non-judgment, beginner's mind, trust, compassion, empathy, vulnerability, and patience. So how does that play into like food or even awareness? You might need to accept like, yes, I overate or I overindulged. Excuse me, bringing curiosity to that. You might be like, oh yeah, I was really stressed, or, oh, I didn't want to disappoint this person. Leading smack dab into non-judgment, right? Because you can say, oh yeah, I did that, which then you could maybe bring in that compassion and beginner's mind. I remember Carla and Rick would say, the body advocates for itself. And I love that term, right? The body advocates for itself. So when the body is advocating for itself, you know, can you trust that and kind of get yourself out of the habituated patterns in order to honor like what the body is actually asking for? Because it's sometimes not fun. You know, I love popcorn and M&Ms at the movies. Love it, love it, love it. Well, since I had my gallbladder surgery, it doesn't love me back in the same way. And maybe it never did. But there's a lot of discomfort. And so it doesn't feel as fun to me, you know, because I have that association of like, there's certain foods that are fun, or there's certain foods that go with certain activities. And so how can you bring that beginner's mind or even trust like, okay, my body doesn't like this. And how can I then take care of my body with an air of friendliness, right? Because again, it's not about, you know, having it be a project. It's not about having it be something that you're fixing, but more of like, how can I be in relationship with this container that I'm in so that I feel optimal, that I feel at ease, that I feel peaceful. And that might feel like a wild stretch. Like as I'm saying that, I'm like, there are days that is a wild stretch for myself. So I'm not asking you to do anything that I'm saying, oh, I'm perfect at this, because I am most definitely not. What I am is a fellow journeyer, a fellow traveler. That's better. A fellow traveler on this journey with y'all. So it is not about being perfect. It's about practicing and giving, you know, patience and maybe even being vulnerable. You might want to be vulnerable with the people in your life and say, hey, you know, I'm choosing not to have this right now. It doesn't make my body happy. One of my friends, Kirsten, says, she talks about happy body food. And so what are the foods that make your body feel happy? What are the foods that, you know, make you feel energized? What are the habits that make you feel, you know, alive and engaged versus like kind of dulled? So just these are things to think about. And as promised, so we are going to go on a short break. So you're listening to Creative Connection with me, your host, Dr. T. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to guide you through a mindful eating exercise. So during the break, see if you can find a bit of food to practice with. I like practicing with chocolate. And this exercise is often done with one or two raisins. So you can really pick anything. So, you know, find just a bite of food. Like, you know, we're not talking handfuls, just one bite, which can be interesting to practice with. So we'll see you when we come back from break. Thanks so much.
On the Spiritual Freedom Show, you will hear the voice of an extraterrestrial master speaking through my teacher, Dr. George King, as it was recorded over 60 years ago. I'm Richard Lawrence, and on this podcast, I bring you the 9 freedoms, which I believe to be the greatest wisdom on earth, with practical ways to give global service and attain enlightenment.
Damayanti, where you can find a special gift for that special person. Or perhaps that special person is you. Our collections include messages in sacred Sanskrit of love, fearlessness, divine energy, and strength, made in America and shipped directly from us to you. Damayanti is the place to find a soul message unique to you, designed for your life journey. Go to damayanti.store now to find the special mantra that speaks to your soul.
Are you trying to build something new or break away from something that no longer serves you? Are your batteries drained or struggling to hold a charge? Let me, Erica Gifford Mills, help empower you to make and maintain the positive changes you are aching for. Together, we will make a plan for your growth and new path that you can accomplish. Visit my website, getrootedradio.com, to schedule your free Empower Hour today.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Are you struggling with body image, aging, or grief? Hi, I'm Dr. T, and here to support you through life's challenging experiences. I specialize in offering valuable insights into the unique struggles and triumphs that accompany these sensitive topics. My expertise and compassionate approach ensure that you will feel supported and understood. Learn how you can receive guidance tailored to your specific needs and concerns. Visit me, Dr. T, at ccwithdrt.com. We're back on Creating Connection with me, your host, Dr. T. On this segment, I am going to be guiding a mindful eating exercise. So what I would like you to do, if you're not driving, is, you can kind of follow along, but it might be a little challenging and you might want to just come back to this. But well, let's arrive and settle. So finding a position that feels supportive, where you can be at ease yet alert, and lowering the gaze or closing the eyes, whatever feels comfortable to you. The important thing here is to just allow yourself to be in this moment, taking a few mindful breaths, breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, softening the belly, breathing through the nose and out through the mouth. Let's do one more time. Deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. Letting your breath return to its natural rhythm. You might notice the activity of the mind. Maybe it's really busy, like, what is this thing? What are we doing? Or I have this or that to do next. The invitation is to bring the mind back to the present moment by focusing on the breath. Nowhere to go, nothing else to do for just this moment. Traveling your awareness to the body, maybe noticing points of contact, the surface that you're on. You might notice air temperature, heat, coolness. You might notice sound. All of these things are anchors to the present moment. And again, this is a practice. So the mind will wander, perfectly normal. And just inviting it back to the present moment through the body, the points of contact, air temperature, through sound, or through focusing on the breath, the body breathing in, knowing you're breathing in, breathing out, knowing you're breathing out. And as you feel ready, opening the eyes and looking or observing this bite of food that you've chosen. I have chosen chocolate. And so noticing, you know, I'm noticing the wrapper, the color of the wrapper. So paying attention to whatever you decided to bring into this moment. You might notice the size, maybe even feel the weight in your hands. And again, this is about bringing this curiosity, almost as if you maybe like have never seen this before. So beginner's mind. So although I've seen many, many a Dove chocolate, have I ever really paid attention to the fact that there's a trademark? I have not. So really getting curious visually about this piece of food. And then if there's a wrapper, slowly unwrapping it, and you might notice there might be some activity in the mind. There might be like, ooh, oh, I can't wait to have that, or this is stupid. Whatever is here, just notice the mind. And you can do that with a little bit of humor and curiosity. So unwrapping, for me, I'm unwrapping this piece of chocolate and smelling it, you know, is there a smell? And we don't normally pause to this degree to get really curious. So, and Dove has a little message on the inside, and it says, thinking of you. So I'm thinking of all of you as I open this chocolate. So I'm looking at it. I'm not going to hold it because my hands are a little hot and it's melty. So smelling it, and notice what is happening in the mind, maybe in the body. I can feel, you know, some sensations of like my body getting ready to eat it. There's this, like just pop it in your mouth and have it. And so as I wait, bringing it up to the lips, maybe touching it to your lips, and noticing what happens next. I'm going to place this in my mouth. I invite you to place whatever you have just in your mouth, but do not chew. Simply just feel what it is in your mouth. You might notice this desire to bite down or to consume it. So just pausing and actually paying attention to the flavor, how it feels on the tongue, maybe against the teeth. And then slowly biting in. You might notice a sensation of swallowing. And now notice the mind. Has it gone somewhere? Maybe people who don't like to listen to people chew might be struggling right now. But just paying attention to whatever's happening and then coming back to the actual physical sensations. The taste, the mouth feel, the act of swallowing. You might even notice like how it was that your hand knew to come to your mouth to put the food in your mouth. And as you swallow and the last bit of food is not in your mouth anymore, maybe noticing, how does that feel? Did I enjoy the flavor of that? What was that like? Again, bringing that sense of curiosity to the experience of one mindful bite. And in this moment, you might close your eyes again if that feels comfortable, and actually pause and think about all of the steps and all of the processes that got that bite of food to your body. You know, if it was the ingredients that had to have been grown and harvested, to the people picking that harvest, to a processing plant, to packaging, to the people who are driving the packages from the plant to the store, the act of going to the store to buy this item. There are a lot of steps that happen between putting a bite of food in your mouth and how it got there. And for me, when I pause and really pay attention to that, I am filled with kind of a spontaneous gratitude for all the people that had a hand in bringing this food to my table. And I can feel kind of humbled and feel that sense of interconnectedness when sometimes it feels that life is, you know, all on my own, or, you know, things like that. There's this idea that we are all interconnected, and that one bite of food can give you awareness not only to your own body, your own experiences, but also to the many, many people and hands that brought that to your experience right now. I'm just taking a moment and a couple of mindful breaths. And as you feel ready, opening the eyes, if they were closed. And I am so curious to know how that was for you. For me, full disclosure, I found this in a jacket pocket. So it was not awesomely fresh. I did not enjoy it the way I normally do. And that's information, right? So it's information. Don't take candy from a jacket pocket. Who knows how old it was? But also it could be this idea of something that might have tasted really fresh or wonderful. And it's not about, again, changing that or judging myself for eating old candy. It is about, you know, creating that connection with yourself, your body, your reaction, and the food or things that you're bringing into the body. So again, it is not about perfection at all. And so as we move forward into this conversation, as we actually are wrapping up the hour, I just want to invite you to, as an action item, as I've promised, I like to have something that you can take immediate action. Simply start paying attention to what you're eating and when. Bring curiosity and non-judgment to the party. You're not here to make sweeping changes. Just begin noticing. So this is just about simple investigation. Simple, not easy. You might ask yourself again, what is my mind state as I'm reaching for this piece of food? What am I reaching for / eating / drinking? Am I enjoying it? And how do I feel after? Mindful eating for me, again, began 8 years ago at that first MBSR moment. And I have come back to it again and again and invited it into my life. when I was on my first retreat. So on silent retreats, you are doing nothing but mindfully doing everything because it's silent and you don't have technology and you don't have distractions. And so I remember being in the dining hall the first time and, you know, eating something. And I thought, I don't like this. And then I was aware of that people pleasing, right? And I thought, well, I can't waste food, you know, and all the chatter, can't waste food, should clean your plate. I don't want to offend anyone. And I thought, well, right now my practice is taking care of me and I don't like this. So I'm going to go get food that I enjoyed more. And that was actually a struggle, but it pointed to what was already the messaging that I held in my body and in my mind around food. Another thing was paying attention to different flavors and sensations. After that first retreat, Charlie took me out to eat, and because I had been away, you know, 5 days, and again, no technology. And so we went out to eat, and I was eating a salad, and I was like, oh, I don't know what this piece of lettuce is called, but it tastes like dirt. He said I was like a child or a toddler because I was so immersed in this idea of just paying attention to what I was eating. And it is a real gift of being able to even, you know, take one mindful bite, but to even try doing one mindful meal. And what I mean by having a mindful meal would be no distractions, no TV, no phone, no reading, and no talking, and simply observing the plate, simply observing what's in front of you. And, you know, you might not be able to do that at the holidays, right? So if you were to say, I'm going to eat this, you know, this meal mindfully, and none of y'all talk to me, that might be counterintuitive to that connecting with the people that you are with. But you can, even when you are with people, pause, look at the plate, notice colors, notice aromas, notice if there's something like, oh, I want to eat this first, or any paying attention to any shoulds or have tos. There might be things in your mind of like, oh, I shouldn't eat this, or this is bad, or I'm being naughty, eating this, that, or the other. And so just, again, noticing. So noticing what's on your plate, noticing colors, noticing sensations, noticing feelings, and then take maybe one mindful bite, paying attention again, you know, bringing it slowly to the mouth, noticing textures, noticing what the body's doing. And again, one of my favorite practices is to think about all of the hands and the people that brought that food to my table. Because we're not doing it alone, no matter what you're having. There were other people that were, well, I shouldn't say that. Well, you're not doing it alone. I mean, if you're gardening, I guess you're kind of doing it alone. But then you have the sunshine, the dirt, and the weather, and access to a lot of things. But for most of the things that we're buying, especially if it's something that we've purchased, there have been a lot of other people involved. And so that can maybe bring up a sense of gratitude. And speaking of gratitude, I'm grateful for you all for choosing to be here with me today. And I want to remind you that each week I lead a free live guided meditation on Zoom. It's on Mondays, 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central, 10 a.m. Pacific. You can go to my website, ccwithdrt.com, to reserve your spot. Again, ccwithdrt.com to reserve your spot. We're a small group. This group actually started over the pandemic. And Heather, who is my guest on episode 4, she and I had started it, and then I continued it on for over 2 years. And it was a real honor to lead those people. And we would love to grow the community. So you are always welcome. And it is a 30-minute. So I generally read something, talk a little bit about what's happening, and then we meditate together. And there's something really beautiful about meditating in community. So I want to again thank you all for tuning in to Creating Connection with Dr. T. I'm grateful that you chose to spend this time with me today. Please reach out with any questions or comments or show ideas. I'm here to co-create this with you. So far I've been kind of, you know, going through things that I love to talk about, but please I invite your questions, I invite your comments and ideas for shows. And it would help me if you shared my show with others. So sharing the links, if it's meant something to you, or if you thought there was something interesting, please share with others. Let's grow this community together. And you can join me on the first and third Wednesdays of every month at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central, 10 a.m. Pacific. And until then, take good care of yourselves and others. And I look forward to seeing you back here next time. Thanks again. Bye. Thank you for listening to Creating Connection with me, Dr. T. You can join me by tuning in on the first and third Wednesdays every month at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where we will navigate being human together. Being human means that we all have a body, and we will all experience loss, grief, and aging if we're lucky. Let's join together on this journey of exploration, support, and mutual learning. I love bringing people together, and on Creating Connection, we are a conversation away from understanding another person and, quite frankly, ourselves. For more information, visit ccwithdrt.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.